Good evening, and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Anne Bior in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Monday, August 14th, 2017. South Sudan lawmakers stop debate over next year's budget after most of the government's ministers fail to show up.
I'm going to make a list of the ministers who are not attending. We are going to put them up there so that it is known publicly. Because I will not accept the overthrow to be undermined by the executive.
And Imatong State lawmakers learn why teachers are abandoning their work in droves.
Torit West County, all schools are not operational. Ayati County in Pajok Payam, 10 schools are not operational. Garia County, Imilai Primary, closed down due to the lack of teachers.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan's parliament suspended debate on the next fiscal year budget today due to questions over the resource of financial resources for various budget items. Lawmakers say they are outraged over the lack of accountability by spending agencies. Waki Simon Mudu reports for VOA from Juba.
A report by the Finance and Economic Planning Committee was tabled as MPs questioned the spending practices of certain government agencies over the past year. Thousands of government workers have not been paid their salaries for several months. And the Ministry of Electricity and Dams was found to have overspent last year's fiscal budget by 49%. No ruling was passed for a third reading of the budget because the vast majority of ministers were absent during today's debate, making it impossible to answer MPs' questions regarding last year's budget allocations. Speaker Anthony Lino Makana called off the debate, demanding that all ministers be present during the next session to answer MPs' questions.
I'm going to make a list of the ministers who are not attending. We are going to put them up there so that it is known publicly. Because I will not accept the overthrow to be undermined by the executive.
The lawmakers had been debating a 2017-2018 fiscal year budget amount of 70 billion South Sudanese pounds, the equivalent of $438 million. Last month, Finance Minister Stephen Diu Dau presented a 46 billion South Sudanese pound annual budget, but after studying budget allocations further, the Parliament's Committee on Finance and Economic Planning proposed an additional 24.8 billion South Sudanese pounds, bringing the total to 70 billion South Sudanese pounds. Several lawmakers, including Meridi State's Mary Nawai, asked why certain agencies are allocated tens of thousands of pounds, yet the agencies neither performed their duties nor provided specific accounts of how their funds were spent.
What were the activities that they used the budget for? These days, honorable members are working in different places, footing, and they are interacting with the people of the Republic of South Sudan. In this case, right, Honorable Speaker, we have never seen any sign in this country of electricity. What people are using are generators in their houses and solars. I don't know any use for us to add any money for the Ministry of Electricity. We have not seen any construction going on or in any dam. Why do we need to add money for the Ministry of Electricity?
Nawai also questioned the capital spending budget since there was little to no infrastructure carried out last year. MP Ayeni Aleo Ayeni represents Tonj State.
Our wage last year was 605 million point three or point four. We spent in three quarters only 83. We were left with one quarter. So if you divide 83 by 3 and multiply it by 4, it becomes 11.56 million. And if you subtract this from 605, there's big money, 423 million that remains and spent in this year's budget.
This year's budget is three times the size of last year's budget, but it is not at all clear how the budget will be financed. David Nailo Mayo, chairperson of the Committee of Finance and Economic Planning, says when inflation is taken into account, this year's budget is roughly the equivalent of last year's. He acknowledges that due to the ongoing fighting, revenues are down.
We are in war. Oil wells are in the West Bank of the Nile are closed. Only the oil wells in Dar are the ones operating, and does not bring all the money that the nation would have required. Yes, the needs are tremendous, but unfortunately the resource envelope could not cover all the necessaries. Well, it will be up to the Minister of Finance tomorrow to see what he would say about these increases.
Speaker Makana says in the next session, lawmakers will demand to see all the ministers in the August House for an explanation and to present accountability reports for the 2016-2017 budget spending. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
Imatong State lawmakers are decrying the state of education in the area after more than 40 schools have closed due to insecurity or teachers walk off the job after not being paid in several months. Dimo Silva Aurelio has more for VOA from Torit.
Imatong State lawmakers say more than 400 teachers have walked off the job this year. MPs grilled State Finance Minister Ochan Benjamin Bongomin and Education Minister Hassan Urbano over what they called discrepancies in teacher salaries and what teachers actually receive. They accused the State Education Ministry of illegally delaying payment of teachers' salaries, forcing many teachers to give up the profession. Lawmakers say even though the government approved a new salary scale for teachers in January, the State Finance Ministry continues to pay teachers based on an old scale, forcing many teachers to quit. Angela Achiro, head of the State Assembly's Education Committee, presented a report on an investigation into the state's education sector, which found that dozens of schools have sat down because money that was earmarked for teachers had been misappropriated.
Torit West County, all schools are not operational. Ayachi County in Pajok Payam, 10 schools are not operational. Bullet 3, Bagheri County, all schools are not functional except school in Nimle Town. Garia County, Imilai Primary closed down due to the lack of teachers. Lopit West, 4 schools are closed down. Bullet 7, Magui County, 11 schools are not functional. Lafon, 6 schools are not operational.
Achiro says lawmakers have been sitting by as schools collapsed and officials mismanaged teacher money. Imatong State Education Minister Hassan Urbano admits that more than 200 teachers do not report to work, but say that is because most schools are closed due to insecurity.
It is different from the place to place. Some of the areas, security. When you go to Lopit area, the boys were, all the pupils went for chasing of the guards in the farmer. So when you go to Pagheri, it is the issue of security. When you go to Ayachi, it is the issue of security.
Lawmaker Alphonse Muras Chacha says he believes more schools have closed.
There are about 450 deserters. What about other schools which were not mentioned? Other counties, some schools are not functioning. But what you are presenting here, you seem to be deceiving us in the assembly.
Many teachers we talked to say education is systematically broken in the state because either they are not getting paid or schools are closed.
Gradually, schools are going to be empty without teachers because teachers will have to go either to cultivate or burn charcoal in the bushes. There will be no teacher in the classroom. If this one continues like this, even at my age, I would like to look for another alternative.
So it has been not all that easy to continue teaching. And as you see, the salary structure is not all that enough to render some of the services within the house. Sometimes even to buy clothes for the children, even paying the school fee of other children. it becomes actually a problem. So the salary is not all that enough to serve.
If there's actually no change in this situation, or maybe in this field of ours already, being a professional teacher, now, of course, it is actually going to discourage some of us, since we found that education is actually something that, if you are in that field, you continue updating yourself. But now, if there's nothing, or maybe nothing motivating a teacher, then it will not actually be good, or it will not really be something important. Even anybody will not really love to come in. As I have already seen from my fellow colleagues, some of them have left. Moreover, the graduates actually, they have left, those who are professional teachers. Because of this, some of them went to look for a green pasture.
Well, if there is no change, in the education sector, that is to say, a number of teachers will be fading from this work. Of course, the social mobility tells us that if the kind of work, does not match or does not fit the requirements, will force somebody to leave the work and to go and look for another work altogether.
Some parents say the government must do more to improve the living conditions of teachers. Imotong State Finance Minister Ochan Benjamin Bongomin says the government will ensure teachers in the area are paid according to the new salary scale.
It was decided that education must be paid new salary structure for February 2017. With the necessary adjustments, while every minister was directed during Council of Ministers sitting to go and sensitize their respective employees to convince them in advance that because of shortage of funds, the state government has decided to pay a new salary structure to the Minister of Education staff only, and that the other ministry's staff should be patient.
State MPs are recommending that teachers' new salary structure be paid immediately and additional $40 be paid to all teachers so that they can go to school and teach. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Torit.
South Sudanese youth in northern Uganda's Adjumani district say unless young women and men are allowed to take part in peace-building efforts, the country will never see lasting peace. Young South Sudanese spoke as the world celebrated International Youth Day on Saturday under the theme Youth Building Peace. Simon Peter Apiku has more for VOA from Adjumani.
Adjumani-based South Sudanese peace activist Sambru Lupai says South Sudanese politicians often encourage youth to fight for them. But he says if young men and women refuse to be part of the country's nearly four-year conflict, it will force politicians to pursue peaceful means to end the fighting.
The youth are actually the people who are involved to either cause conflicts or bring in peace. So we play a bigger role as youth in peace building.
Maurice Duku, who is a young accountant in Adjumani, says political and traditional leaders frequently lure poor and uneducated youth into fighting for them by offering money and other material benefits.
Someone comes and tells the youth, "You guys will accept to fight with me, I'm going to give you 1,000 kettles. And then that guy who wants to get married will definitely pick up an arm because he wants to get his kettle and then go about pay for dowry for his future wife. You know, the whole thing is the kids are being used.
Tribalism, especially among the youth, is tearing the country apart, according to Sokiri Alex Mure, a young South Sudanese musician. But Mure says young people have the power to end tribal divisions.
Like me, I'm working with you and you are from the other tribe. You will not find me eating together with you on the same table. You'll find groups. These ones are from this. They are sitting there different, the other one there different. So, like me, I wanted those things to not exist, we should be together.
Lupai created the I Am Peace Project, which works to foster peaceful coexistence among South Sudanese refugees in Adjumani and between the refugees and host communities. He says real peace can come to South Sudan, but only if the nation's youth are unified in their stand against war.
if we can preach peace among our peers and also practice that that we preach, I think we shall have a positive impact in the society.
Duku agrees. He says each person can start by working to change perceptions at their schools, places of work or worship, and in their neighborhoods.
Where I work, there's also a context where I can be able to tell people, please, this is not how we're supposed to do things. Telling them the right things. Do this. Don't go about carrying guns. Leave these guns down. Go get a paper and a pen. Go to school, study, and you learn to know things better than these weapons you're carrying.
Mure says he uses music to steer youth away from the influence of warmongers and ambitious politicians and tribal leaders.
Mostly my songs attack the youth. Yeah, I have some that can also go to the elderly people, but mostly my target is on youth.
Lupai says South Sudanese youth are already engaged in various peace initiatives such as the Anna Taban campaign, Defy Hate Now initiative, and the I Am Peace project on social media, which try to change young people's perceptions about other ethnic communities.
If the youth are actually united and they all speak the same language of peace, I think they can be very, very effective, because we have seen how all these youth-led projects are actively and positively changing the mindsets of many of the youth who had a negative thought about each other.
Simmering ethnic tensions and a power struggle between President Salva Kiir and his former first vice president Riek Machar erupted into fighting in late 2013 in Juba. The conflict quickly spread across the country and has left tens of thousands of people dead and has displaced millions from their homes. For VOA News, I am Simon Peter Piku in Adjumani.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from The Voice of America. Kenya's opposition candidate says election results are rigged and refused to accept the official outcome of last week's election. Find out how Kenyan businesses are reacting when we come back.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what core value do you live by?
I do value my education a lot, because I know that with education I can go anywhere. I can explore the world. I can be whoever I want to be. I can go anywhere. I can do anything I want in life.
I live by the hard working as the core value and prioritizing the priorities. I like it just because when I live in hard working, I know for sure one day I might achieve something which I need in life.
It's respect. I love to be respected, and I love to respect other people.
Okay, trust. So I love, like, someone I can trust. So I want someone to trust me, because that's the way to go. Because if you don't trust someone, then there's nothing, there's no way you can go forward with it.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Kenya's opposition leader called on people to stay home today to protest the results of last week's election. Some heeded the call, but many others returned to work, despite uncertainty about what the opposition would do next. Mohamed Yusuf has this report for VOA from Nairobi.
After a week of mostly empty streets, Kenya's capital city is coming back to normal. Traffic is flowing and people are going back to work. That does not mean the dispute over the August 8th presidential election is over. The opposition says the election was rigged and has refused to concede defeat after incumbent Uhuru Kenyatta was declared the winner with 54% of the vote. The announcement of the presidential results was followed by a protest in some parts of Nairobi and western regions that are strongholds of Kenyatta's main challenger, opposition leader Raila Odinga. Slum areas in Nairobi, like Mathare, have witnessed much of the violence. Some youth gather in groups to discuss the election and the future of the opposition. Odinga visited the neighborhood on Sunday and called on his supporters to stay away from work in protest. 35-year-old John Mark has refused to open his welding business. I want to know what he will tell us tomorrow. If Raila tells me to open my business, I will do so. But also, I would like him to tell me where my vote is and what he intends to do. Unlike Mark, Stephen Odhiambo has opened his food kiosk in Mathare. He says business has not been good since Uhuru was announced the winner, and his customers are afraid to come. He adds there are those who come in, but will run again because of continuing battles between the police and demonstrators. And if they get out, they are beaten by police. The opposition says more than 100 protesters have been killed by the police across the country since the election. The security agencies have denied the accusations, and the Kenya National Commission on Human Rights said 24 people have been killed. President-elect Kenyatta said the election is over and the majority of Kenyans have returned to work. He called for his opponents to accept the outcome and for the aggrieved to pursue their cases in legal ways. Mohammed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
Zambia's jailed opposition leader will begin his treason trial later this week after pleading not guilty Monday, despite rumors that prosecutors plan to drop charges. Last week, the president and opposition agreed to internationally mediated dialogue to resolve months of political impasse. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg.
Hakainde Hichilema's lawyer was tight-lipped about the case he plans to present when the opposition leader appears in court later this week on treason charges. Keith Wemba spoke to VOA from Lusaka, the capital.
They have pleaded not guilty to the charge, and then the matter has been adjourned for trial to Wednesday.
Hichilema was arrested after an April incident in which his convoy refused to yield to the president's motorcade on a narrow country road. The political impasse started when Hichilema cried foul after losing last year's election to President Edgar Lungu, and has intensified since the opposition leader was arrested. The case has deepened the nation's political crisis and prompted international mediators to intervene. Journalists were barred from the courtroom Monday. The day before, several media outlets had reported Hichilema's charges were to be dropped and he was to be released. But it did not happen. Analyst Nicole Beardsworth says it is not known why prosecutors did not enter a nolle prosequi, a legal move that means unwilling to pursue.
Speculation is that the reason for this is that because of all the media coverage of the intention to enter a null, that actually the UPND was going to use it as a sort of photo opportunity, that some prominent politicians from around the region were in the courtroom, and so the government or the prosecutor decided not to enter the null today.
Neither the nation's justice minister, information minister, nor ruling party spokesman answered numerous calls seeking comment. But no one believes the end of this trial will bring the political crisis to an end. Last week, the Secretary General of the Commonwealth Group of former British colonies led a delegation to launch talks between Hichilema and Lungu. Analyst Ryan Cummings says the talks will be lengthy.
I think it's going to be quite a consultative process first and foremost, and definitely something that will continuously play out over the coming months, weeks, months, and possibly years as we move into the next election.
Zambia, he notes, has also suffered from a double whammy of a harsh drought and slumping prices of its main export, copper. He says the talks also need to discuss how to rescue the ailing economy. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
There's a new addition to Africa's busiest air transport hub, O.R. Tambo International Airport near Johannesburg, the continent's first airport-based brewery. Airport Craft Brewers is a reflection of South Africa's burgeoning independent beer sector, with growing numbers of beer drinkers not satisfied with industrial mass-produced beverages. Darren Taylor reports for VOA from Johannesburg.
the hectic international arrivals terminal at the OR Tambo Airport. Not far from here, businessmen in smart suits lean on a marble bar counter, sipping black and copper-coloured beers. A tall man in his 40s, in a white lab coat, zips between big, shiny silver tanks, monitoring the temperature of his latest brew. Pumulelo Mahali learned to make beer from one of South Africa's master brewers, Lex Mitchell.
He always says to me that, for me, it will take you 2 years to be exact to know how to brew beer, which is now in a brew house. It took me 6 months, but it took me about 4 years to understand the technicality behind it.
Mahali prefers brewing and drinking sweeter beers like his dark malt porter.
Roasted kind of toffee notes, it gives, that's what you get from a porter. Chocolatey, and some people in the nose, they pick up coffee.
He also makes blonde lager, German-style wheat beer, and Irish red ale. The brewery owners decided to make all the beer at the airport so customers could see the process firsthand and to ensure a fresher taste. The brewery turns out about 20,000 litres a week. Mahali says it's great to be one of South Africa's few black beer brewers and to be at the forefront of the country's craft beer revolution. A decade ago, there were 6 craft beer makers in South Africa. Now there are about 200, with the artisanal sector having captured almost 1% of the nation's massive beer market. The sector remains dominated by South African breweries, one of the world's biggest brewers, and part of the multinational beer behemoth, Anheuser-Busch InBev. But economic analysts say craft brewers like Mahali are successfully carving out a niche in the local South African market. The airport supplies a constant flow of customers. Most of his clients, though, are South Africans, like James Nkuma, holding a golden beverage in the bar area.
It's a blonde. I love it. I enjoy it each and every second of it. Easy to drink beer. It's a light, not hard like I need to drink and get drunk, no.
Mahali's also training the next generation of young brewers like Sibosiso Komalo.
Calculations, what you have to put in, the right recipe, the temperatures. The whole process takes 1 month.
But, as Mahali says, good things come to those who wait. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
And that's our show for this Monday. We leave you with the song Waka Waka by Shakira.
During its all time, choosing your battles. Pick yourself up and dust yourself off and back in the saddle. You're on the front line, everyone's watching. You know it's serious, we're getting closer, this isn't over. The pressure's off, you feel it, but you got it all, believe it. When you fall, get up, oh, oh, and if you fall, get up, eh, eh. Tamina, mina, sangalewa, cause this is Africa. Tamina, mina, eh, eh, waka, waka, eh, eh. Tamina, mina, sangalewa, this time for Africa.
We've been listening to Shakira with the song Waka Waka. I'm Ayan Bior in Washington. Thanks for being here. We hope you can join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from The Voice of America. This time for Africa.